Welcome to the Passive Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast with your host, Andrew Keel. This is the podcast where you can get the education you need to invest 100% passively in the highly profitable niche of mobile home parks.
Welcome to the Passive Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Keel, and today we have a very special guest on the show in Ms. Tracy Renna, founder and CEO of MH Title Brokers. Before we dive in, I want to ask you a real quick favor. I need more reviews on the show. Would you mind taking an extra 30 seconds to head to wherever you listen to your podcasts and leave this show a review? It helps us get more listeners and means the absolute world to me. Thank you so much for making my day with that review of the show. All right, let's dive in. One of the worst things in mobile home park, management is dealing with old park-owned homes and finding the titles to those homes. It is definitely a pain point. This is where Tracy and MH Title Brokers can assist. Tracy Renna founded MH Title Brokers over 4 years ago to specialize in the organization and investigative work required to identify and retrieve mobile home titles. They engage with local DMV offices, legal institutions, and title companies, saving mobile home park owners a lot of time and frustration. Tracy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me, Andrew.
Yeah, I would love to start out by talking about our connection and Rod and how in the world, things have kind of come full circle, right? So I think it was 2015, 2016 when I met Rod for the first time. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could just start there and kind of talk about how we came in contact.
Sure. I think at the time, I believe we were managing a park, and you had come and talked to Rod. I wasn't there. I wasn't present, but I know that you were looking for homes. Is that how it went?
That's right. Yeah. So I was a Lonnie dealer, and it was your husband. Rod and you were managing a park in Ocala.
Oh, yes.
And this was right when I got into manufactured housing. Trying to find homes, and I came across you guys managing this park, and we were trying to, buy homes out of this park to kind of do Lonnie deals on. And then I actually found some homes from another park, came across Rod. Rod's like, "Hey, I'll buy them. Where are we at?" And we ended up doing a deal on those two homes. So it's just funny, that was, quite some time ago. And, we're both still in the manufactured housing business. So that's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're out of Lonnie deals. So that's
Lonnie deals. Yeah. So things are looking up.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So Tracy, thank you. Would you mind telling us about your story and how in the world you got into the mobile home business to start with?
Sure. Well, you brought up Rod, and Rod is my husband, and he is a licensed mobile home broker in the state of Florida. He has been for the last 10 years. And I was not in manufactured housing and helping him 100%. I actually was in the healthcare field for 15 years. And so that was my side hustle. I would help him with title work from the transactions that he did, and at night when I would get home. Well, the last 5 years, it really started to get really, I don't want to say sticky, but we really had to make sure that the title to the home was the home he was purchasing. And we were starting to see that more and more, where, the manufactured data report wasn't matching the title, VIN number wasn't matching what was the HUD plate on the home. And so that's when I started really sort of researching and making sure that whatever he was purchasing and then ultimately selling was going to be correct, home and title. He doesn't want to sell anything that, is going to be half-assed. And then the poor person on the other end, he doesn't even have the right title to the home. So that's really how it started. And then COVID hit and he had said, "Hey, listen, why don't you help me full time?" Which I was not too keen on. But something happened with that. I started getting phone calls from park owners, and I started getting phone calls from transport companies and other brokers. And they were like, "Hey, we're really having difficulty either locating a title, in all different scenarios." And I said, "Well, let me see if I can help." And then I would research it. And if I could find something, I say, I think that we can do this. Or if I couldn't, because, for example, in Florida in 21, they changed the laws on abandoned titles. So ultimately, I refer a lot of those out to an attorney. We have a network of attorneys that we work with, and I will, you know, source that out to them so they can help them. And, you know, I let the client know that, listen, we're just lay people. We do the investigation. We stay in our lane, but anything that requires an attorney, we have some good attorneys that we work with.
But at a high level, Tracy, you know, just so I can kind of encompass this, what I hear you saying is that, hey, we buy a mobile home park, mom and pops, we're not the most organized, right? They're not known for being the most organized and having titles, which is just like a title to your car, right? You have a title to every mobile home, being that it's personal property. And there's taxes, right? You know, that you pay to the DMV every year on these. And sometimes those always... sometimes those didn't get paid, you know, every time. Is that right? So that there can be a track record here of a messy situation. And managing mobile home parks from experience is quite tough work. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this. And, you know, you can think of the obvious, like collections. Yes. If you were thinking that collections would be tough in the affordable housing business of mobile home parks, you're correct. It is a little tough, right? So you That's the obvious. But then there's the subsidiary stuff like mobile home titles that you need to keep track of, and you need to understand the risks. So maybe could you talk about the risks, right? Like from an operator standpoint and from a passive investor standpoint, like what do I need to know about mobile home titles so that I stay out of trouble?
Sure. So from the passive income point, if you're going in to have passive income as a partnership and purchasing parks, one of the things that you really should understand is where are the titles? If the mom and pop are saying, hey, these are park owned, all right, that's fantastic. So where are the titles to these park-owned homes? Are they in your name? Are they in an owner's name that passed away 3 years ago? So they may say, oh, we have titles, but a lot of times they never put them in their name at all. And that's what I usually see.
There's a floating titles, what's that's called. That's very common where they don't want to pay the personal property taxes. So they'll just have a tenant sign the back of the title and just give that to the owner of the trailer park. And he'll say, hey, you don't have to pay me your back due rent, but just give me the title to your trailer, sign the back, and it's an open title. And then what he'll do is someday he'll find a buyer that wants that trailer. And he'll say, here, you know, give me the money. Here's the title. And he'll give it to them. He never signed it. He never put the title into his name. It's been open the whole time. And then he's just giving it to the next person, which runs a lot of risk, right? Because having an open title, they could go get a duplicate title and sell that trailer again, which I've seen happen before.
I have seen. There is a lot of risk. The other thing that I find is if back tax. So, for example, registration. You know, in Florida, it's called registration, which is a tax. It's like a little. You're going to get a sticker like you put on your car. So, what I'm finding is a lot of parks are starting to get on top of it, even if the homes are not in their name, if they are in the tenant's name. And the reason why is because it looks like a lot of these counties are staying on top of any of the registrations that have not been paid. So what happens is, unbeknownst to anyone, is that now the county has placed a lien on that home. So what I find is, like, I think it's Wyoming, they require anybody who owns a manufactured community, whether the homes are tenant owned or they're owned, is that they have to say what home is in there with a VIN number and are the registrations up to date. And I thought that was beautiful, because that could be helpful for any park owner, even if it's not required by the state. But you're going to want to know that, because the states are really getting privy to the amount of money they can make with these parks on taxes. And so
it's not a ton, right? It's typically not a ton. What's the typical taxes on a home in Florida? You know, that's like a $25,000, you know, metal on metal home from 1990.
You figure, what is registration? Registration's based on the length of the home in Florida. So maybe between $84 to $87 a month.
Exactly.
Not a month, a year.
No, that's a year. Yeah. a year. So it's very cheap, right? And this is another factor of why there's restrictions on zoning for mobile home parks, because think about it, that mobile home owner pays $87 a year to, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a 3-bedroom home and there's 3 kids in there. There's a husband and a wife, and those 3 kids go to public school, which costs around $12,000 a year, you know, yeah. for, you know, the county to put them through school. So you can see where it's a loss leader for the local, you know, municipalities to, you know, be developing new manufactured housing communities, which kind of constricts that supply. But that's a whole nother topic that I, you know, I can talk for a couple hours on. What I wanted to talk about, though, is who owns the homes, right? A lot of mobile home park owners will have the entity that owns the real estate, right? Mm-hmm. Which will be Deer Run MHP LLC. And then we'll have another entity that's Deer Run Homes LLC that will be the owner of the homes. And the reason for this is that a lot of the big time lenders, you know, the conduit lenders, the agency lenders, Freddie and Fannie, they want those homes off, like disconnected from the real estate. Mostly, mm-hmm. I think from a liability standpoint, because they don't want those homes associated with the real estate, so that the liability associated with owning those homes isn't, you know, going to hinder the real estate somehow, which they would be the mortgage holder on. So why do you think that is? What do you think is the biggest risks or liability to owning these homes, Tracy? You may not know.
I don't really know. I mean, I know that's what they do, and I never really asked why they did it that way. And I do think I'm wondering if it has to do with if they're financing it. So they're still financed, though, right? Through the finance companies. A lot of them are.
It's typically a different one. So like the real estate finance company isn't the one that's going to be financing the chattel loan, which is on the actual homes themselves. But I think it's because, hey, if a tenant slips and falls in the home and sues, you know, someone because there was a soft spot in the floor and their foot went through it and they got really injured, you know, they would sue who owns that home, which would be Deer Run Homes LLC instead of the real estate owning entity, which is Deer Run MHP LLC. So there would be a block there where, you know, hey, you're covered, right? Like they can't get the real estate, which is, you know, I think the main reason there. But I think that's a clear distinction. And then I was just wondering, do you see that with other operators you're working with, that they have the homes in a separate entity that's on the titles?
Yes. Yes, they do that. And actually, they will say it, like they'll say whatever, Fox Run Homes, because they know those are the homes, you know, that are on that
park.
Fox Run, you know, what mobile home park. So, yeah, they do. And I could see it. I could understand that. And I think, you know, it's actually smart, you know, in a lot of ways, because it'll be completely separate. And I think they could probably sell off. The other thing is, you probably can sell off the two things if you really wanted to. You can sell all the homes as one package and maybe the land another. I don't know. I'm getting out of my, but
yeah, no. Yeah. Cause the real estate lender doesn't like want the homes as part of their collateral. So you know, that's why, is that way, if it's in a separate entity, you can sell the homes without needing a release of, you know, a lien release every time, because they're not holding those.
That's true too.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Can you sell a manufactured home without a title? And what does that look like?
Oh, well, it depends on what state you're in and how old the home is. So in Alabama, yes, you can sell it with a bill of sale. And as long as it's 20 years old or more than 20 years old. So yes, and again, every state is different. In Florida, no. There's no way you're going to get away with it in Florida. I highly recommend that in any state that you're in, that you get title in hand when you're purchasing it. You know, I did mention Alabama, but, you know, because every state has different caveats to it, but the safest way would make sure that you had title in hand. And the reason why is because you want to make sure that you are purchasing it from the purchaser. And I don't like open
the right
titles.
Owner.
Yeah. And I'm not big into open titles, which we talked about just a few minutes ago. And the reason being is what we said before, somebody can get a duplicate title. So the title that you're purchasing, you should always do a VIN check. And a VIN check is really some states will allow you to do this online. Other states, they'll make you pay, but you can check in to the VIN number and make sure that the home that you're purchasing is correct. And the issue date of the title is the one that the seller is giving you. So I always tell people, it's great that you're checking the VIN to see if there's any liens, but the other piece that's so important is the issue date on that title. Is that what's current in the state system? So what I mean by that is, again, we can talk about duplicate titles. Somebody may have a title that they think is actually the what they purchased and, you know, to the home. And it, again, this is if it's not in their name and it's an open title. Sometimes it can be that way, but let's just stick with that. And then a duplicate title is
out there somewhere.
What I see is sometimes people forget, they don't know where the title is. So then they go back down to the DMV, get the duplicate, then they're selling the home and they're selling it with the first title, which they can't do because they really have to sell it with the duplicate. So always look to see if you have the most current title.
That's such good information. And this is why our due diligence checklist has grown from when I first started, which was 50 items, to now being over 350 items long, is because little nuances like this, that in the beginning, you didn't really think, hey, do I really need to check the VIN on all these park-owned homes and match those up? You know, but now it's like, oh, wow, because we made a mistake. We bought a park with several park-owned homes that didn't have titles. And then we got the tax bills. We went down to the treasury's office and saw the tax bills in these homes. There was like $7,000-$8,000 in back taxes on these things because there was fines accrued over the years and things like that. And in order for us to get a title, we would have to pay, you know, to get that, you know, paid off. And then what the tricky part was is these homes were trashed, right? Like there was no one living in them. They were old junkers. They weren't worth $7,000 to $8,000. So then what we had to do is we had to pay to get a demo certificate or demo privilege or something like that to be able to demo these. We had to pay the back taxes off. And that's where it can get expensive if you're not careful in due diligence, because you could be paying $7,000 to $8,000 in back taxes just to be able to demo an old mobile home that isn't worth $7,000 to $8,000.
Right.
So your pro forma can go downhill really fast if you didn't raise money to pay the back taxes and the $3,000 to actually demo the home and put it into, you know, a couple of dumpsters. So I'm glad we went over this. You know, this kind of is a shot in the dark, but you know, if you're buying a mobile home park and it comes with park owned homes and the seller does not have titles to those, what's a reasonable amount of money to hold back per each park owned home, you know? Like, what would you do, I guess, in that scenario where he doesn't have titles?
I would hold back between 3 to 5. And the reason why, and it depends on the state. Because if it's in a state where you have a great attorney that can go to court and get you titles, that's going to cost you about $3,000 per home. And then if you want to turn around and demo it, because some states will say you can show that nobody owns it, you know, you don't have to go to court, and then you're asking for a specific demo sort of permit.
Permit,
you know, after you, like a demo permit. So you can send off certified letters to prior owners. Again, every state is different. There are certain states where you can send off certified letters to prior owner. There's like maybe a list of criteria. And then you tell the state, listen, we did the best we could to find these past owners. We really don't know who they are. We can't find any VINs on the house. All we want to do is demo them. Some states have the certain criteria and then you will demo it, because they know that's what you want to do. Other states are like, we don't really care. We need you to own it first before you can demo it. So now you have to pay. If it's a state where you have to go to court, you're looking to pay an attorney. You're looking about $3,000, you know, to pay an attorney. That's court fees, time. You're looking at maybe 4 to 6 months before you can actually get a judgment that will allow you to go back to the state to get a title. And then from there, you're proving ownership. Now you have to go and pay somebody to demo it. So I would say between 3 and 5. And again,
at it least. Depends. Yeah. On,
yeah.
And think about that, right? Like you brought up some really good points in states like Illinois and Michigan. It may be longer, right? There's more regulation there. It's blue states.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And it's much harder to do this. So if you have a pro forma that says, hey, I'm going to bring in 3 homes, I'm going to fill these lots, I'm going to demo the homes that are there, and I'm going to fill these 3 lots in the first 6 months after I buy this property, you know, this exact scenario that we just described could totally throw your pro forma off track. So you got to understand mobile home titles and Yeah, this is really, really valuable. Thank you so much, Tracy.
You're welcome. I'm going to add one more thing because this actually came up. So I have a client who we're looking in Oklahoma to help her, but they have different criteria as well. But their problem is of why they're in a panic is that they had abandoned titles when they purchased the park, but the insurance company is now saying, if you don't demo them, we're going to drop your insurance.
Mm.
So keep that is first for me. That is a, so I'm just letting your listeners know that there are other factors really to keep in mind. Yeah.
Hazardous. Yeah. They don't want those old homes with broken windows and stuff just sitting there. So you can have, you can have some risk by leaving Definitely. It there. Tracy, if any of our listeners would like to get a hold of you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Sure. You can reach me. The email address is info@mhtitlebrokers.com, or my direct number is 813-705-7044.
Awesome. Tracy, if you, knowing what you know about mobile home investing, mobile home park investing, your experience as a manager of a mobile home park, if you were going to invest passively as just to strictly as an investor into a mobile home park syndication, what is one thing that you would want to make sure of before doing that to make sure you're successful?
Sure. I would definitely ask about titles. I would really dig into them. And like you said, and I know that's because that's where my main focus is, but there's so much that can stem from titles. You talked about back taxes. We don't even have the owner. What's the state that we're in? Do they require that we have to go to court to prove ownership before we can demo it? It's not a glamorous topic, but it is such.
It's expensive.
Very expensive.
Let's do this. Yeah. I just had a great idea. What are the top states you would avoid because the titling process is so regulated and so just over the top, it's just not worth it. What are the states you don't work in?
Well, there's a couple we don't work in because we haven't been there yet, but I'll be honest with you. Michigan's a toughie. Michigan, yeah. It really is. It's not person friendly.
Which other ones have you worked in that are tough like that?
Well, we've been able to really work out the kinks pretty much with any state. We never back down from a challenge. But when it comes to a bit, pardon me?
Have you done any in New York?
You know what? I had one gentleman call me and I was like, you're the only one that's called me from up there. I said, and I can't tell you we have been in there, but I've heard horror stories. So yeah.
And I stay away from New York. It's worse than Michigan.
I wonder how New
ask
Jersey
me how I know.
Is. How do you know? And then do you have about
bad
New Jersey
experiences?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's just, they just overcomplicate things a little bit and there's just a tendency. So yeah, there is a real reason why, people say, hey, invest in red states, it's a little bit easier to do business there. I learned the hard way. Anyways, anything else you think we should touch on before we sign off today, Tracy?
I don't think so. No, I really don't. I think people to just have an understanding of how important it is to have titles. You could see the money attached to it, whether going out or coming in.
Yeah.
So it's really important to have the correct title to the correct home.
And I think this goes back to a lot of just park owned homes, right? There's additional risk. There's additional management. There's additional stuff that comes with park owned homes that, if you're aware of and you have the resources, you can mostly hedge that risk if you're on it,
right.
But there's just, if you're buying your first park and there's 50 park owned homes and half of them don't have titles, this is a whole, you need a team of people to help you with your title work. And that's what Tracy does over at MH Title Brokers. But awesome. Great episode. Tracy, thank you so much for spending the time to do this recording with me.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. It was wonderful.
All right. That's it for today, folks. Reminder, please leave us a review if you got value out of this show. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Have a good day.
Hey, are you getting value out of this show? If so, Would you mind please going over to iTunes and leaving the show a quick 5-star review? I have a goal of hitting over 100 5-star reviews by the end of 2021, and it would mean the absolute world to me if you could help contribute to that. Thanks ahead of time for making my day with your 5-star review of the show.